Blog Talk Radio.
Clap your hands for Angela.
You're listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. The guest on Show Talk with Angela Butler is Mr. Ivory Bale. Some of you, a lot of you, may remember him from the group Blue Magic. Ivory Bale has been working for a couple of years on a solo career, and he will be discussing his career and his return to the group Blue Magic. Hello, Ivory. How are you doing?
Good morning, Angela. Good morning, and good morning, listeners, wherever you are. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, too, and everyone else. Welcome to the show again. One of my first questions would have to be, how long have you been singing, been an artist? I mean, what age?
Forever.
Forever. Okay. All right.
I've been singing for a very long time. I actually started when I was 8, at the tender young age of 8 years old, long before Star Search, X Factor, and American Idol, and all of these national talent discovery shows. There was a place called the Apollo Theater, and there still is a place called the Apollo Theater in New York City,
yes,
up in Harlem, New York, and we had amateur night at the Apollo, and so many of our great stars of today cut their teeth on that stage. Jackson 5 once performed on that stage, Luther Vandross, Aretha Franklin. The list is very long. You know, Luther, and it's a tough crowd. Apollo Theater crowd, you know, you had to get on there, you had to give them soul, familiar soul, and you had to get it done quick, or they would boo you right off the stage. And they had guy called Sandman who would come and just like, If you weren't good, sirens would come on. He'd start tap dancing, and sometimes he came up with a big broom and he'd sweep you off, or sometimes he had a shotgun and he would shoot you off. But I was fortunate enough to win at the Apollo when I was only 8 years old, and that was the realization for my mom and everyone else. They said, "Whoa, he really can sing."
Okay. So since you were 18 years old, you were first place at the New York City Apollo Theater.
That's right.
Oh, that is great. That means you're very talented, very gifted.
Well, you know what? Even younger than 8, I was fortunate enough that my mom used to take me out to these shows. They used to have these big R&B review shows back then, and I used to, you know, she used to take me to see, I was maybe 6 and stuff, she used to take me to see Sam Cooke and James Brown, Jackie Wilson, Tommy Hunt, people like that. And, you know, I would sit there in the audience and watch these entertainers come out and do their thing, and they were just having so much fun, you know, and I used to, and the audiences would go wild. The women would go wild. I used to watch the women tear Jackie Wilson's shirt off and
oh my goodness,
pull his hair out and stuff. And I said, you know what, that's for me.
Oh my goodness.
I said, I got to learn how to do that. So I would come home and grab the broom and or a hairbrush or whatever and get in the mirror and practice my moves and start trying to hit notes and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, that's how it all began. I actually used to, me and some of my fellas, we used to dance on the corners for money when I was like 5 and 6. We used to, you know how you have the kids later days, they would break dance out on the streets for money. I used to do that.
Yes.
I used to be flipping around and doing splits and all that crazy stuff when we were kids. It was crazy.
Okay.
Yeah.
My understanding is that you will be singing lead with Richard Pratt's group Boomatic. Am I correct?
That is correct. They reached out to me a short while ago and extended an offer for me to come on board as their lead singer. And, you know, we met, we talked about, you know, what's down the road and what the plans are and all of that. And it was, you know, a good meeting of the minds. The chemistry seemed to feel right. So we spent a little time together, played around musically a little bit. And so it looks like we're going to move forward. And we will begin rehearsals actually next weekend. And we've already booked a couple of dates, so we have some shows coming up. And for me, it's a return thing because I sang lead for one of the other Blue Magic groups a couple of years ago. And, you know, we ran together for a few years, and that was really great. You know, I always loved the group and the material and everything else involved. So coming back to that, I guess the time is right. And, you know, we're looking forward to some great things. It's a great group of guys.
Okay. Now, my understanding is that you went solo for a while.
What are some of your
CDs?
Say that again?
What, you went solo for a while. What are some of your CDs that the listeners, you know, may know about or want to purchase?
Well, what I did is I started a series. It's an R&B, classic R&B series called Sweet Tenor Sounds. Me being a tenor, that's what I sing, first tenor, which is that high, what we like to call that high, pretty voice.
All right.
So I had the idea, you know, let me start a series called Sweet Tenor Sounds, and I would do a series of records under the auspices of Sweet Tenor Sound. So far, I've put out 3 Sweet Tenor Sounds recordings. They are available on Amazon. Some of them, at least the first one, is available on Amazon and iTunes. I'm not sure it's still available on CD Baby. It may still be on CD Baby. But you can also email me at sweettenorsounds.com. I'm sorry, sweettenorsounds@AOL.com if you'd like to purchase anything from that series. And we would certainly get the order out to you expeditiously. In addition to the Sweet Tenor Sound series, I've also recorded a gospel record. And that was I took a hiatus from R&B music. At one point, it was just instilled in me that I wanted to use my gift to glorify God. And, you know, there was music in me that needed to come out, and it was in glorification of the Lord. And so, you know, I had to write that material. You know, there's also some standards on there, but the majority of the songs on the album were written by myself. And I collaborated with my good friend, Dennis Doc Williams. He's a musical director of the world-famous OJs. longtime friend of mine. He was my co-producer on this project. And, you know, we just went in the studio and we spent a lot of time, you know, getting that record done. And it was really a great project. I also had some guest artists appear or participate on the record. Hezekiah Walker's radio station choir, they're on the record. Roger Lee Hambrick and the Bronx Mass Choir are also on the record. Zion Cathedral gospel choirs on the record. Some great singers on that record with me, and we felt it was a really, really, really nice project, and it was very well received. So that was great, and now we're doing you know, we're back to the R&B series, and just put out a couple of singles during the holidays. A re-release of Look at Me, I'm in Love, and people seem to warm up to that very nicely. That's being very well received. And also my version of Hey There, Lonely Girl. The interesting thing about that is that I love that song so much I decided to just do one a cappella, and people seem to love the a cappella version even more than the one with the music. So, you know, we're just trying to keep classic R&B music alive, putting out some good music, you know, what we call grown folks music, and letting the people enjoy it.
Okay. So you've told the listeners about your CDs and what you've been doing as a solo artist.
Right.
I'd like to go back a little, you know, back in time a little bit.
Don't go too far back in time. I'm not that old.
No, I'm not saying that at all.
I'm just messing with you, Angela.
Okay. All right. If I pronounce this wrong, please correct me. But
okay.
What was it like being in Phil Nakatura? Did I pronounce it right?
No.
Okay. I'm sorry.
You slayed that word.
I am so sorry.
Oh, man, no. The correct pronunciation is Nocturna, and it's taken from the word nocturnal, meaning of the night. And so the movie, it's a movie. It's a crazy movie that I did. I acted in as well as performed on the soundtrack with Moment of Truth on MCA Records. This was even after Sal Soul. But it was a crazy movie all about Dracula's granddaughter hiring my group to come to Transylvania and play at a party in their castle. They needed to raise money because Dracula and his family were falling on hard times. So, you know, kind of like people used to do back in the day where they'd have like a rent party. They'd charge people.
Okay.
So this is Dracula's granddaughter having sort of a rent party, and she hired my group to come and play for it. So we go all the way to Transylvania, and there she falls in love with our bass player. And that was the theme of the movie, you know, because her family was all up in arms because she's in love with a human, and we're on him because he's in love with a vampire, and she can't come out in the daytime, and, you know, all that crazy stuff.
Okay.
And she follows us back to New York, and, you know, she starts hanging out in the clubs. You know, she learns how to dance in the clubs and all this kind of stuff. So we had a lot of fun with that movie, and it was pretty crazy.
It was pretty crazy, okay.
It was pretty crazy. You can still find clips of it on YouTube and things. Also on that soundtrack with us was Vicky Sue Robinson, Gloria Gaynor, the Heaven and Hell Orchestra. It was a really nice lineup of talent that participated on the record. It was pretty good.
Okay. Who are some of the gospel artists that influenced your gospel career? I mean, you know, any influences?
Wow. What a long list that is. Initially, I gotta say James Cleveland, John P. Key, and at the very tippity top of that list would be the Winans, Marvin Winans, and company. Before, I mean, I grew up in the church, and my mom used to take me to church, and she was in the gospel choir, so I used to, you know, be at the rehearsals and the whole thing, but I never really, really got into the music until one day I met a minister, and he and I just got into a conversation, we became good friends, and he invited me over one day, and he put on the Winans, and they were singing, you know, to me, it was like listening to the OJs doing gospel music or something like that, and it just hit me where I live, and I'm like, wow, that is so strong, and I fell in love, you know, with gospel music, listening to the Winans, and I started to sing it. And then later I started to write it. And I remember one day just sitting in a church and the Spirit hit me. And during testimony, I just stood up and began to sing. And I started to sing, Old Rugged Cross. The Spirit just went. It was bananas. You know, people started to praise and people started to weep and all of that. And then I just knew, you know, there was something in me that, you know, I had to sing in church. And I spent the next few years, you know, basically just focusing on gospel music and singing in churches and that sort of thing.
Okay. So even though this is, I'm going to, play one of your CDs entitled, one of your ballets, rather, I'll Erase Away Your Pain.
Okay. That's a song that I went and I went back and got one of my partners, Billy Jones. He was one of the lead singers with me in Moment of Truth. A great singer, you know, with that big, rough voice. And it was, you know, him and I, we've always been able to do some great music together, so we had a lot of fun making that song, co-produced by myself and Dennis Williams again, and play it. Hope everybody
all
likes
right.
it.
All right. I'm not going to play the whole song, listeners. To get the whole single or CD, you'll have to go ahead and purchase it, but I'm going to play a clip of it, of this beautiful ballet by Mr. Ivory Bell. Song by Ivory Bell, I'll erase away your pain. Beautiful song, beautiful ballet.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Angela.
Very beautiful. So what was the name of your first gospel CD?
Well, there's only one gospel CD.
Okay, all right.
So it's the first and the only. It's called
okay.
Just Praising. Just
okay.
Praising.
Praising.
And that's okay. exactly what it is. It's just praising.
Okay. What are the names of other groups that you have sung lead with?
Well, I sang, well, let's see, starting from very young, I was with the Impacts, and then Moment of Truth, Blue Magic, had a very short stint with the Dramatics when they were looking for a first tenor to replace Ron Banks. That was a short stint, but the Dramatics, then the Delphonics Review, and now it looks like I'll be back with Blue Magic again.
Okay. All right. Also, I'm still on gospel, even though that's your only CD with gospel, but
mm-hmm.
on one of your CDs, you sang, I believe, and performed with upcoming gospel artist Osama J.C. Thomas and Beyond Blessed. Am I correct?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, I forgot about that. That's another project. Trying to remember how I even hooked up with them. Can't remember, but
okay.
I did. I recorded or an album with them. It wasn't
right.
my album. It was actually Beyond Blessed's album, and they asked me to come on board as a singer, and so I did, and I recorded that album and did a few concerts with them. It was a great project.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to ask you, when you performed at Madison Square Gardens in New York City, were
yes.
you performing alone? Because, you know, that's a real big venue. I mean,
big venue.
Once
that
you
was actually
there,
Forum Auditorium at Madison Square Garden. You know, Madison Square Garden is sectioned off. They have different auditoriums in there. And this was the Felt Forum for a promoter who was huge at the time named M. Morton Hall. And we were on with the Dramatics, Tavares, First Class. No, A Touch of Class. A group called A Touch of Class back then. And it was a great concert.
That's huge, too.
Yeah, it was huge.
It's huge in New York City. That's huge.
Yeah.
So,
hey, New York City is huge. If you haven't been to New York City, talking to all the listeners out here, you got to come visit us. Come see us in New York.
Okay. Yeah, go see him perform in New York. Okay. You also, if I'm correct, signed with Sal Soul Records at one time.
Yes.
I believe you were about how
yes.
old you signed with them?
Sal Soul Records, that was my first record deal. I was
yes.
19 years old. And the interesting thing back then, I remember making a decision at 19 because, you know, before that I had been singing in talent shows and I won a lot of talent shows and the thing at the Apollo and, you know, singing at dances and stuff like that, different groups and what have you. And I remember just making a decision that I wanted to find out if I had what it took to become professional. And so I remember quitting my job.
Okay.
And I started going into the city every day. Myself and another guy by the name of Billy Snow, and he's no longer with us, but Billy was another great first tenor singer. And we started going into the city every day and just knocking on doors and trying to find auditions and that sort of thing. And we came across a studio called Sound System 6. And they were auditioning singers first for a group. It was a group called A Spectrum. They had a song back in the day, Do Me Wrong, Do Me Right, Right Now. Yeah, like the old heads will remember that song. But they were auditioning for singers, and so they heard me sing, and they say, yeah, they chose me, and they didn't pick my friend, Billy, and that was like the first riff. He was like, "What? But you got to take my man too." And they're like, "Nah, we want you." And so I had to, you know, I had to say, "Billy, hey, I gotta go, man." You know, it was tough, but I had to go. But that turned into the A Spectrum thing didn't jump off, but it turned into Moment of Truth because then the offer came in. They needed a group to be Moment of Truth, and they had material written and stuff and. So we started auditioning for that, and we moved a couple of singers around. And before you knew it, you know, we had a deal with South Soul Records. And that was back in a time, it was quite different from today, where you could get a record deal, you could land a record deal just on the based on your talent to sing. You know, it's not like you had to go and produce the record yourself or, you know, have the actual finished product yourself and try to sell it to a record company or create a buzz, you know, and, you know, look for a distribution deal or something. But if you could sing, they would put money behind you. A producer would get you into the studio, record you, and then he would shop the record. And that's kind of how it was done back then. You know, on the downside of that, you had so many talented singers and performers that were just that. They were just front people. They would sing and perform, but the people who owned the music, who wrote the music, owned the publishing and did the production work, would make the real money behind the scenes. But, hey, listen, when you're young, you're 19 years old, you sign your first record deal, we were happy, have our faces on album covers and see our faces in store windows and getting all this attention and the girls and the demos, and we were just happy. So, you know, later on, we started waking up and saying, hey, but, you know, we need to be making some more money.
You need to be making some more money. Okay, I understand that. You want to get paid for what you do, but it's also...
So, you know, we learned as we started to tour with other groups, other name groups, and we saw what they were getting, you know, we started to learn, you know, more about what we should be asking for, what we should be looking for, so... you know, we started coming back and asking for more, and then, you know, we started to climb our way up.
Okay.
But I've seen the music industry go through so many different chapters, you know, since then, you know, from what it was then to those exploitation deals of yesterday to what it is today. You know, it's just a whole different thing. Like today, what's so different is, you know, back then we sold a lot of records. We sold so many records overseas. I mean, we sold records here, but we also sold a lot of records in Germany and places like that. You know, now you don't sell records like you used to because of the internet. People have so many different ways to get the music. You know, they can just download and do these kind of things. So, you know, some people sell CDs, but the numbers are nothing like, you know, what they used to be, you know.
Oh, okay. All right, so you have a song that you sing, Look at Me, I'm in Love.
Yes, yes, that's my latest single. I'm getting a lot of love on that record. People seem to appreciate it a lot. And so, hey, listen, if my listeners are happy, I'm happy.
Okay. All right, well, I'm going to play that song now, Look at Me, I'm in Love.
Okay.
All right.
Dedicated to all the ladies.
Okay.
For all I see. preacher sang, she's my girl. I'm saying I do for the rest of my life, and I think it's so nice.
All right, listeners, you listen to a little bit of Look at Me, I'm in Love by Mr. Ivory Bell. Beautiful song, beautiful vocals. I know you probably hear this every day, but beautiful.
Hey, listen, we don't get tired of the compliments.
Okay, well, I'm being honest. Beautiful voice.
We don't
voice.
Get tired of the compliments. It's a good thing. But yeah. I'm glad you appreciate it.
Yes, sir. So you have a resume. You not only sing and perform on stage, your resume includes writing, producing, voice coaching, and even a choir director at one time. Would you like to talk about that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
You know, my mom used to say, it's a poor rat that only has one hole.
Okay. Okay.
So we like to be versatile. I mean, it's important to be able to do more than one thing. You know, we need to be able to expand. And that would be my advice to any young up and coming entertainers. If you're trying to get into the industry, you want to be able to be, you want to be multifaceted. So, at one point, I did become a choir director. I joined a church and they needed someone to get their choir into shape. And I took the job and I began to work with them and on their you know, strengthening their voice, breathing techniques, vocal exercises, you know, developing their ears better and that sort of thing. So, yeah, I did that for a couple of years. I did some vocal coaching during that same time for about 3-4 years. And I started a school. I think it was Showtime. Someone approached me and wanted to back me and open up a school, a voice coaching and performance development school. And I said, yes. So we ran with that for a few years, and it was pretty cool. It was good. And we not only did that, we also had a talent discovery thing going on where we would stage talent competitions, weekly talent competitions. We used to give away $1,000 and some studio time. That's pretty good. That'd be pretty
that
good.
Is,
even,
yes. Uh-huh.
You know, what's
that
wrong with $1,000, right? You know,
mm-hmm.
and,
yep.
You know, and some time to go in the studio and make a record. So, I mean, you know, even today, that'd be, I'm sure anyone would be glad to have it.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, so that was, you know, a little bit about that. And, you know, and as far as producing, my team, I have a great musical production team that I think could stand up with anybody. I think we could compete with anyone, you know, in terms of quality of music that we're able to make. I mean, you know, I'm not bragging on it, but, you know, if you listen to my stuff, you listen to it, and I think it speaks for itself.
No, that's not bragging. You know? You're blessed. I mean, you're blessed with a gift, your voice. I mean, you're right. I mean, you're multi-talented. You're what I call a triple threat.
Thank you very much. I'll take it. But, you know, we have fun. You know, we go in the studio and we make music, and it's fun. You know, it's like we party in there. You know, we come in with creative ideas. Usually I'm the one that's writing the material. And, you know, Dennis, you know, he, with his expertise being on the arrangement piece, you know, after I write it, I utilize his expertise as an arranger to make sure everything is musically perfect, and then with my engineer, who is such a perfectionist, you know, everything has to be just perfect for him, and, you know, to perfect to a fault, where sometimes he can make you crazy, but he makes sure, you know, but before you come out of that studio with anything, it is perfect. You know, you have to do it sometimes, if we have to do it umpteen times, we'll do it umpteen times until we get it right, and only then, you know, will we call it a finished product. But we have such a great time. Our chemistry is great when we go in and we make music, and we've been able to come out with some pretty nice records.
Okay.
We're thinking about, you know, actually opening the road and producing, you know, taking on clients and producing, you know, more records, you know, for other people as opposed to just doing our own stuff. But, you know, we'll see. You know, time is tight right now, just schedule-wise. You know, the toughest thing is, you know, my schedule is very hectic, and then Dennis, when he's not working with me, you know, he's touring with the OJs, and then, you know, Jerry, and he's got a whole bunch of stuff going on, traveling back and forth to Hawaii, and, you know, it's just a lot of stuff happening.
Okay. So you earlier in the conversation, you were talking about the advice that you would give up-and-coming artists. That's good advice, but I have another question. What is the most important lesson or thing that you have learned while being an artist in the music industry? I mean, what have you learned that will benefit somebody else along the way, some technique or something, advice?
Well, you know what? I would say if I had to just to condense an answer to your question, I would say work ethic. I learned a long time ago that, you know, it's you get out of something what you put into it. So, you know, You may have talent, but if your work ethic isn't good, then your talent will never blossom to its full potential. Some of the greatest entertainers that we've ever known, what made them great is they had solid work ethic. You know, think about Michael Jackson.
He
was a workhorse. He's definitely one of, if not the greatest entertainer this world has ever seen, and he had a solid work ethic. He didn't just walk out on the stage and just start dancing and spinning around like that and singing like that. He spent a lot of time behind the scenes practicing, sharpening his pencil, honing his craft, getting better and better, working on his vocals, producing records, all of these things. So by the time he hit that stage, he was ready. He was ready, and he had something for you. James Brown, he was inspired by people like James Brown. He's called him the hardest working man in show business.
Yes.
And people like Jackie Wilson, I grew up on those guys, and they were phenomenal. But you know, before they hit the stage, they were well rehearsed. They knew what they were going to do. They had high standards for the people that worked with them, their band, whoever else was going to work with them. You had to cut the mustard or you were out of a job.
Okay.
So you got to put the work in. You know, you have to work on your vocals. I'm always working. I'm always looking at music. I listen to all different genres of music. I don't just listen to R&B. I know some singers that just listen to what they do. Big mistake.
Yes.
You get trapped in a box. You're only, you know, people like that can usually only sing one way. You know, they're not versatile, and it stunts your growth, and it will impede your ability to create. I listen to jazz. I listen to hip-hop. I listen to, obviously, gospel. I listen to pop. I listen to some country. I listen to all of this, and I drink all of that in. And then, you know, without me even trying, it comes out. It just comes out of my pores, and it comes out in my music. And, you know, I think that puts me in a position to reach a lot of people because there'll be something in my music that will, you know, relate to more than one group. And, you know, that's just kind of how I approach it. So if I had to zero in on one thing, and there are many things, but your work ethic. And that also includes, you know, learning the business, okay? Because you don't want to be exploited. You don't want to make foolish choices. And, you know, so once you have your craft, once you hone your craft, and that's not something that you ever finish doing, you have to constantly reinvent yourself, because otherwise, you know, you become boring. People, once they've seen it and they've seen it all and there's nothing new, then, you know, why should they continue to come see you? So you have to constantly reinvent yourself, but you also want to hone your craft and do some behind-the-scenes education about how to market yourself, because the marketing strategies are different nowadays. It's not the same thing like what it used to be, and you don't want to have to hire people to do every single little thing for you, because then you're spending all your money before you even make it. So, and then you can't even keep them honest if you don't understand what it is they're supposed to do. They work for you at the end of the day. Okay. So you're supposed to be able to lay out for them what you want done, and they should have the expertise to tell you what the strategies are and how they'll get it accomplished. But you definitely have to, you know, be the keeper of your own fate, so to speak. And you know what else? Pray.
What else?
Because no matter how talented you are and, you know, all of these other things, it still has a lot to do with, you know, whatever God's plan is for you. Because timing is everything, and, you know, your relationships, you got to work your relationships. You don't want to burn bridges and that sort of thing. You want to keep your ego in check. That's another thing that I think that undermines or undercut some people's talent. You know, they get a big head too soon and just, you know, think this, it's all about them. Hey, listen, you know, remain humble, because no matter how good we are, there's always someone else just as good or better. And, you know, we have to just remain humble. Other people will lift you up if you stay grounded and you stay humble.
Yes, and also versatile. Versatility.
And versatile, yeah. You got to be able to do more.
You said that earlier. I was just pointing that out. Okay, so you have a song called Lonely Girl in a cappella. Hey There, Lonely Girl.
Yeah, beautiful ballad, and originally done by Mr. Eddie Holman. Always love that song. I sing it in my show, and people always love it every time I start to sing that song. You know, I get,
Okay, all right.
I get sighs and stuff when I say this song. So I decided to do it both with music and a cappella. And, you know, I think people seem to like it a lot.
Okay. So that's what I'm going to play next. Mr. Ivory Bells, Hey There, Lonely Girl, in a cappella.
Well, all right.
That's next.
Hey there, lonely girl, lonely girl. Your broken heart like new. Hey there, lonely girl, lonely girl. Don't you know this lonely boy loves you? Ever since he broke your heart, you seem so each time you pass my way. But once you're in my arms, you'll see no one can kiss your lips the way I will, the way I will. Hey there, lonely girl, lonely.
Okay, listeners, we have on Show Talk with Angela Butler, Mr. Ivory Bell. That was him singing Hey There, Lonely Girl in a cappella.
Right.
I'm going to play the other version too, okay?
Okay.
Hey there, lonely girl. All right, listeners, keep listening. You're hearing some beautiful music, beautiful songs. A very gifted artist here, Mr. Ivory Bell. listeners, that was a little bit of Hey There, Lonely Girl by Ivory Bell. Beautiful music, beautiful vocal cords. I hope you're all enjoying the show as much as I am. So, Mr. Bell.
Yes.
I couldn't help but notice after doing some research and reading your bio, you have performed with many artists.
Yes.
You have.
Mm-hmm.
And you are one of the big artists, too. I just want to say that also. But some of the more known names in are people like the Stylistics,
yes.
the OJs, Kool
yes.
and the Gang, Melissa
yes.
Morgan, Sissy Houston,
mm-hmm.
Kirk Franklin, and Donnie Clarkin, to name a few of the people that you have worked with.
Right.
What was it like? I mean, you're a star yourself, you know, but what was it like performing with some of these groups or people?
Well, you know what? It's very humbling to find yourself, you know, on stage with, you know, someone that you've idolized, you know, like your whole life as a performer. You know, I was blessed to do a recording session, just thinking about it, just popped into my mind when you called her name, with Sissy Houston. And, you know, obviously that's Whitney's mother.
Yes.
And
Whitney.
Back when I was on South Soul Records, we were asked to do a background session for an artist named Harvey Scales at Sigma Sound Recording Studios in Philadelphia. And, you know, it's myself, moment of truth, myself, Billy Jones, and Michael Garrison. We came in and we were doing the male vocals, and on female vocals you had Sissy Houston, Nona Hendricks, and Jocelyn Brown, and three artists, you know, prominent artists in their own right. And, it's just such a pleasure to work with, you know, other artists of that stature. And it was, to be in the studio with them and sing backgrounds, you know, with them and all that. And you walk away with something. You always walk away with a technique that you learn, you know, just listening, you know, working with other artists. And, you know, hopefully they take away something from me, too. But the more people you're exposed to and you work with, you always walk away with some really great tools. I remember doing the Gospel Fest with Kirk Franklin and James Fortune, Donnie McClurkin, all of those guys. That was phenomenal. That was phenomenal. I was performing or singing with Hezekiah Walker on that. And it was just phenomenal. There's no words for me to even just describe how huge that was. But, you know, again, you know, the OJs, Stylistics, all of these groups, you know, whenever you work with these guys, you always walk away, you know, just blown away by their talent. And it's also an awakening to you that you have to, you know, keep your game up, you know.
Yeah.
You can't slouch because this is, you know, you got to, listen, you know, it's not really a competition, but you have to keep up the standards, you know, that kind of thing. So it's a beautiful thing.
Yes, it is. Also, I'm going to play something else. It's by you, Mr. Ivory Bell. Listeners, you're in for another treat. Listeners, that was Mr. Ivory Bell with Lonely Girl. Hey there, Lonely Girl. I just wanted to, you know, play that again. Out of all the things that you're blessed and talented to do, what is it do you enjoy most? Is it the, do you prefer writing, recording, producing, are performing on stage? Or do you just love it all?
You know, that's a tough question. That's a great question, Angela. And it's a tough question because I love all of it. I mean, I am just in love with music. You know, I can listen to music for hours and hours. I'm in love with it. But you know what it is? If I had to pick one thing, I would probably say the live performance, because that give and take, that spontaneity of give and take with the audience is, you know, what's better than that? It's like making love, you know. It's like you're making love with the audience, you know. It's spontaneous and it's fresh and it's just spectacular. And just that give and take, you know, you're giving them love and they're giving it back to you, and it's a beautiful thing, and it's just such a rush. And if I had to choose, and it's a difficult choice, I would probably say that.
Okay.
It's, you know, but every time anytime I'm doing something musically, I fall in love with it. When I close my door in my office, I close my door and I just shut out the world, and I'm writing something, and it's honest because it's coming out of me. It's something that's coming out of my heart. I fall in love with the song while I'm writing it, you know, and that allows me to, you know, do the best possible, you know, job of creating that music. I fall in love with it, and then I sleep on it. I wake up the next day with new ideas, and I want to try something. Then I'm on the phone with Doc. We got to do this. We got to try, you know, that sort of thing. When I go in the studio and I listen to what I just did, I fall in love with it, you know, and then I might get a fresh idea to try something different. So whatever it is. And certainly, you know, when I go out to perform, I fall in love with my audience, you know, and you know, I want to make them happy. So I hope that answers your question somewhat.
It does. I just wanted to note, I'll say that you also have written and produced songs for Def Jam Records.
Yes.
It's not the only one that you've written and wrote and produced songs for, but it's the most well-known, at least for me it is, Def Jam Records. I think that is also, yes.
Yeah.
You're very multi-talented. And I'll say this again, you are definitely a triple threat. I have to ask this. Where may the listeners go to purchase your music?
The easiest way to get the music now is online, Amazon.com. CD Baby, some stuff's on CD Baby, iTunes, and certainly number one at the top of the list, email us at sweettenorsounds.com, sweettenorsounds@AOL.com. I keep leaving out the AOL. sweettenorsounds@AOL.com, and you can make any request for any of my material, you know, whether it's the R&B material, gospel material, and I also have a live concert clips DVD that's out for purchase now that a lot of people are very happy about. So that's also
available. What's the name of that DVD?
Ivory Bell Live Concert Clips.
Oh, okay. So listeners, you hear that, you can purchase, where you can purchase everything it's at. How can the listeners purchase tickets if they want to see you perform? And where will you be performing at next?
I have Valentine's Day coming up in New York City, and that's February 14th at the African American Museum. That's in Hempstead, New York, 110 Franklin Street in Hempstead, New York. There's a number. Listen carefully. I'm going to repeat it a couple of times. 516 561-671-6586. Once again, that's 516-771-6586, where you can call for tickets if you'd like to attend that event. Okay? Again, on February 28th, I will be in Manhattan in New York City at the Cafe at Broadway, and that's a classic R&B review. Tickets are available by calling 914-837-0578. Again, 914-837-0578. Also in February, I will be performing with Blue Magic, and I don't have all of that information in front of me, but I know we will be in New Jersey on February 13th, and on February 15th, we'll be in Maryland. So stay tuned, and I will be getting that information together, and I will post it. If any listeners, send me a friend request on Facebook, Ivory Bell on Facebook. Send me a friend request. I will accept it, and then you'll have access to my upcoming concert dates, solo as well as with the group Blue Magic, and you can get all the information you need from right there, as well as purchasing any of the music that you might be interested in.
Okay. All right. So, listeners, you heard him. Ivory Bell, the man with the beautiful voice, telling you where you could go purchase tickets, where you can call to purchase tickets, and how to purchase, I believe, a DVD entitled Sweet Tenor Sounds. Is that it?
No, that's a CD, Sweet Tenor Sounds, but okay. The DVD is Ivory Bell Live Concert Clips, The Man with the Golden Voice.
Yes, definitely.
But if you access me on Facebook, you can, you know, all of that information will be on my page, and, you know, it'll be easier for me to impart information to you. Also, I'm just thinking about it. There's a Rough and Smooth show that I'll be doing at the end of January in Bronx, New York, and that will be on January 31st. That'll be myself and Billy Jones. The record you played a short while ago, Erase Away Your Pain, we have a whole review of great music that we do together. We'll be doing a show together on January 31st.
All right, listeners, you heard it on Show Talk with Angela Butler, Mr. Ivory Bell, the man with the golden voice. You can also go to Show Talk with Angela Butler, Angela Butler's Facebook page, to find out about some of those concerts or performances. You can go to my Facebook page.
Excellent.
All right, thank you. Everyone have a good night.
Angela, thank you for having me. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you.